Soy goals. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
Soy goals. You need some whoop 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 boing. You know?
Absolutely.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the last hour of the week, because it is Friday and we are almost free for the weekend. And a reminder, if you want to go to the Brewers game tonight.
Tonight
at 7:10, we still have two more tickets that we're giving away this hour. And so you need to keep paying attention and be the first caller in once we give you the directive. But these tickets are courtesy of Civic Media's flagship Brew Crew Station, WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, as well as WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. So we only got an hour left, so you got to pay attention.
That's right.
If you want to win. All right. Well, it is that time of the month when we check in with our friend Matt Miller, on Milwaukee culture editor, to talk about all things pop culture that are happening. And this time we're going to kick off with stuff that's happening right in our backyard for the Milwaukee Film Fest. So welcome back, Matt.
Thanks for having me. And also, if you have extra tickets, I will go see Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. This is the first time they've been to American Family Field. So sorry, Film Festival. I'm going to, oh no, I'm feeling sick. I got to go to the baseball game.
Well, you just have to, so as soon as you get off with us, you'll just call back and call Jane and then you'll win the tickets. There's no reason you can't win.
Can the question be about me? but yeah, no, actually I will be at the film festival tonight. The 2023 Milwaukee Film Festival is entering its second week, second and last week for the year. And it's been tremendous. As a matter of fact, last night I saw the best movie I've seen at the festival, and Ooh. Frankly, the best movie I've seen all year long thus far, called Rice Boy Sleeps. It's a Canadian movie. If imagine if Moonlight and Minari had a baby, if those two movies joined forces, a movie about a Korean immigrant woman and her son who moved to Canada and follows them as they grow up together, as he goes from a child to a teen, and they go through huge life stuff. Every 15 minutes I was sobbing. Every 15.
That sounds exhausting.
But it's not. It's not like A Man Called Otto, which is a movie I enjoyed, but that movie is so desperately trying to make you cry. That movie is like, dead wife, cancer, are you crying? This movie makes you cry because it just feels so delicate and so honest, and so it feels like you are watching a memory on screen. It is a beautiful film. Thankfully, many of these movies throughout the Milwaukee Film Festival are showing again, and this one will be showing again on Wednesday next week, I believe at the Oriental Theater. Tickets are hopefully still available for that. Really remarkable film. I hope people check that out, last screening.
Say the name again. Rice Man Sleeps?
Rice Boy Sleeps.
All right.
Yeah.
Rice Boy Sleeps. Okay. That is a bold statement coming from you. The best movie you've seen all year.
It is really tremendous. And I'm trying not to oversell it, because it is an oversellable movie, because it is very delicate. It is very soft-spoken. This isn't Everything Everywhere All at Once, where that movie is like action scenes, trauma, crying,
hot dog
laughing.
Fingers.
This is a movie about life. This is a movie about a mother and her son and acclimating to a new society. And it is just really beautiful. And I was just an utter sobby mess by the end of it. It was one of those movies where, like, for no reason, I started crying and I was just like, get it together, man. Lock it in.
That happens. It's funny how, like, the sneaky tears climb up sometimes. You're like, why am I crying right now at this commercial? And at least we can blame it on hormones.
I blame it on the Bucks loss. Maybe that is fair. Movie just got me at a moment of weakness,
a vulnerable, emotionally raw,
lingering trauma
position.
Yeah, lingering trauma.
When they started talking about Giannis being great, that really got me in the feels. That really got me.
Weird. It was so topical. So I guess what else has been notable? We interviewed Justin Superstar, who was the director of the opening night film. Mom and Dad's Dipple Factory. Were you there for that?
I was. It's a very charming documentary. It has such a personal fingerprint to it, which is really nice. Really charming movie. I also saw How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which is probably the most controversial isn't the right word, but it's one of the buzziest movies at the film festival this year about a group of young eco-terrorists plotting to blow up a pipeline as in what they call an act of self-defense. Really intensely made thriller, obviously of the moment, has no problem being confrontational. I think arguably its weakness is that if you are not going into the movie already convinced that maybe we need to be blowing up pipelines, I don't know if that movie makes a great art. I don't know if it reaches across the aisle very well. Some of its kind of more emotional plays in that regard feel a little checklisty. But as just a pure thriller, as just a pure, enjoyably exciting kind of 100 minutes, it's a really good thriller. I believe that one is coming back to the Oriental Theater after the film festival. So if you missed the screenings, that should hopefully be coming back. And I know there's a virtual component to the Milwaukee Film Festival this year. So if you're unable to make some of the screenings this year, I believe a decent percentage of the movies they're showing will also be available on virtual. So people should check that out at mkefilm.org. It's really one of the best events that happened in Milwaukee all year long. And I think it's really essential too, because indie theaters have really struggled over the past 2 years, you know, and the indie film market, the box office, has just really cratered. It's been really hard to get people back to independent movies and to documentaries. So the Oriental and the Downer, the two kind of main independent theaters in Milwaukee, have started showing more blockbusters. I mean, when the film festival ends, the main screen at the Oriental is probably going to be Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Oh, wow.
Right now, John Wick and Air, the Matt Damon Ben Affleck movie, were the movies at the Downer. So this really is the kind of, and hopefully things go back to the way they were. Hopefully that indie film market grows back up and people start going out to those movies again, taking those risks on the big screen. But for the time being, the Milwaukee Film Festival is kind of an essential outlet to guaranteed independent, foreign, international movies, documentaries, and getting them in front of your eyeballs.
Because it is, it's, I fall into that trap all the time of taking the risk on watching even stuff on streaming or whatever, taking the risk on something that you haven't heard of that could be really good, or the thing that's been marketed down your throat. They're like, well, I might as well check this thing out because I've heard so much about it. But we're talking to Matt Miller, who is the culture editor over at On Milwaukee with our monthly pop culture entertainment update. And so quickly, I know this wasn't on our list of things to talk about, but did you see Air?
I did see Air.
What'd you think?
I enjoy Air. I don't love Air.
Okay.
Because it's a movie about like, oh, what's going to happen to the scrappy underdog Nike? You know, it'd be like trying to make an underdog movie about Amazon at this point. It would just be like, oh boy, I sure hope Amazon can make it. You know, it's a very snappy, well-made movie, but it's just kind of hard to get past that dramatic hoop of, okay, I know how this ends. It ends great for everybody. Is this not just a victory lap for Nike and Michael Jordan?
And I think, because we saw it, and I liked it. The performances are great. But it is funny to think about that period of time when Nike was a running company. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I think there was just things about that point where the company was that I did find interesting. That it was just like factoids that I didn't know, which was one that like, they just didn't have a basketball department, and like they were not taken seriously as anything outside of like a running company because everybody runs. And like even where the status of the NBA at that time and how cool or not cool the NBA was. And then also what I didn't realize that Nike bought Converse eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah. And so there were certain things like that that I thought it was really fun. But I thought it's interesting. But you're right as far as –
I will say,
it's kind of like watching Titanic, and you're like, well, yeah, we know this is going to end.
Yeah, if you liked Air, actually the secret member screening at the film festival this year and hopefully getting a release in the future is a movie called Blackberry about the rise and fall of that company. And I know that sounds like, oh my God, are we really making a movie about Blackberry? But apparently that has a very similar vibe to Air, but a little bit more critical of the kind of economic situation that allows these things to kind of rise and fall and take people down with them.
And it's not a documentary, it's like a narrative?
It's not a documentary. As a matter of fact, I believe it stars one of the cast members from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What?
And like Jay Baruchel and like a really weird cast. I thought it was a fake movie, but apparently it's real and apparently it's very good. So look for that on VOD or hopefully in some theaters. You know, hopefully it gets a little bit of an actual push.
And it's just called Blackberry, like Blackberry
it's
the movie.
Blackberry.
Which is it's terrible for SEO because I just Googled Blackberry and certainly the company still pops up. The company's still in business.
Doing what?
I don't know. Blackberry.com. Always on, Blackberry. Always protected. And so there's software to secure IoT devices.
Yeah, beepers. They're still they're like, hey, maybe beepers will come back.
Maybe they'll come back. All right. Well, when we come back with Matt Miller, we're going to talk about HBO Max taking the HBO out of their name, which feels like a marketing catastrophe. But then also, we're going to come back to the conversation around Netflix cutting their DVD mail-in service, because I'm excited to see if you think this is a good thing or a bad thing. Because my instinct, Matt, is that you're a purist when it comes to, like, you're more on the physical media side, that you think that we should protect it.
I do come off like a grumpy 75-year-old man, so yes, you're probably right.
All right, our guest is Matt Miller, who is the culture editor at On Milwaukee. He writes about movies, television, sports, music, and beyond, and he will still be here when we come back from this break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. Word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. And top of that, your papa has parted. You're broken-hearted, but you go on. There's no people like no people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Matt Miller, who is the culture editor at On Milwaukee, talking about pop culture, entertainment, things happening in the world that he is an expert on, or at least has opinions about. And I loved, you had a very strong take, because earlier this month, is it that HBO and Discover are merging?
HBO, Warner Brothers, who owns HBO, was bought by Discovery and the kind of media giant that is the Discovery Channel, which is weird to say, but it's true. So now Warner Brothers, which again owns HBO, has merged with Discovery as the new kind of major monolith of media there.
And you have very strong opinions about the name.
So they have their streaming service. They originally had two streaming services, Discovery Plus, where you would find 75 versions of Fixer Upper, and Dr. Pimple Popper,
nice.
And HBO Max, which is the home of all the HBO shows, all of Warner Brothers' movies. I believe there was some Criterion stuff on there as well. It was a really good streaming service, HBO Max. But as a part of being a corporate, you know, a family now, they have weaved Discovery Plus into HBO Max. And as a part of a branding thing, they have ditched the HBO off the name. So their streaming service is now just called Max, which is ridiculous because the HBO is the good part of that name. HBO is the brand.
Yeah.
When you hear HBO, you think, oh, wow, that's probably pretty good. When you hear Max, you hear either shortened Maxwell, or if we're talking TV, you think late night dirty movies, because that's the reputation of Cinemax.
Yeah.
It's just baffling to me. And HBO admitted, like, they've interviewed them, and they said that, you know, we don't want the name HBO to basically scare off viewers and think this is going to be, you know, all prestige television, which is hilarious because what they are saying is we don't want you to think everything here will be good.
Like, seriously, though,
openly saying you can find trash here too, and like, listen, I watch Vanderpump Rules. I have no problem with bad, silly TV, but if you're HBO, why are you flushing that legacy down the toilet so people know where they can find The Big Bang Theory? You know, it's just very, I don't understand it.
It's also, Max is just not, it's not a very descriptive name.
I mean, if we're talking SEO, again, there's a musician named Max.
Yeah.
There are human beings named Max. Far fewer human beings named HBO.
Although, you never know. Don't put it past people for that to be trending.
Seriously.
In the next 6 years.
Elon Musk's future child name. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So then the other big streaming service made a choice or announcement a couple weeks ago, saying that their original product, their original service of mailing you DVDs instead of you having to go to Blockbuster is coming to an end this year.
Yeah, Netflix is going to fold up their DVD rental service. They're in their physical media business. And I feel like this brings to a close the kind of promise of Netflix. I think when Netflix first started, when we had the DVDs in the early days of streaming, there was this feeling of, wow, I have so much access to so many movies now. Mm-hmm. They have all these DVDs, and now there's all these movies on their streaming service. Well, their streaming services library has been utterly and completely diminished because they are putting more resources towards making bad original movies that no one remembers. Shout out Red Notice. And, you know, all these other studios have created their own streaming services that are losing them money. And now Netflix is shuttering the DVD part of their business, which was pretty much the only way to rent or see a DVD or a movie from them pre-1985. I have some numbers here for, I hope I still have them. Yes. Here it is. If you want to watch a movie made before 1990 on Netflix right now, they have 79 movies. They have 79 movies.
Really?
From earlier than 1990. This is, yes. And if you want to go further than that, they have even fewer movies. So they blew out Blockbuster, which had, you know, it was an imperfect business, but, you know, they blew up Blockbuster to replace it with their DVD rental service, which had an awesome plethora of movies, and with streaming, which had, at the beginning, an awesome plethora of movies. And now that library is diminished, and their physical media is diminished. And it's just getting a little bit harder to find these things out there, which is ironic because at the same time, you know, all these movies are available to rent on iTunes and at the Apple Store and stuff like that. They're not impossible to find. But at the same time, that's what I mean. Like, the promise of Netflix, the idea that Netflix was going to be this kind of one-stop shop library almost, it's dead now. And we have fractured this media off into a way to just get cable again.
Hey, Matt, I'm going to sidetrack things just a little bit because we only got about 90 seconds left. But a shout out to your father, the legendary Gene Miller, who is going to be honored at this year's Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards as a local broadcast legend.
Wow, and that hawk.
I think it's wonderful that they're doing this while he's still alive. So I.
He is honored. He has no idea. He's flustered and has no idea what to do with all these kind words that people are throwing him. But it is, I'm very lucky to have such an outstanding father and an even better newscaster. So, yeah, props to my dad and props to you for having to deal with him for so long.
That's true. That's so early in the morning,
We had some really good times together. We had some wonderful times.
Early morning, when famously people are at their happiest and their most pleasant to deal with.
Exactly.
All right, Matt. Well, thank you, as always, for joining us. We'll see you back in a month. And actually, we should maybe even prep this now. Probably by the next time you're back, we're going to have a new time slot. So I hope you're earlier... A little earlier in the day. Hopefully you're free from 11 to 12.
I don't know if I'm awake by then.
That's fair. So we'll keep you posted. But yeah, so for now, thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon. Check out Matt Miller on Milwaukee. Check out all of his sports, culture, entertainment, writing. Thanks, friend. All right, we'll be back and we're going to do a new segment that we stole from Reddit called Am I the Butthole? It's not actually called that, but this is FCC friendly. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche. Everything you said was a lie. You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche.
But you're still a really, really handsome guy.
Thank you.
You're a douche. You're
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Just a reminder. At the end of this segment, we're going to take your calls, and we're just going to do the first caller. First caller will win the tickets, the Brewers tickets, for tonight against the Angels at 7:10 p.m.
And as Matt Miller pointed out, there's two really special players who are going to be in town for the first time.
Mike Trout.
Yeah.
And Shohei Ohtani.
There you go.
I now know this, thanks to Luke Mathers. But yeah, so that's the first. Did he say that's the first time they've played in the American in Milwaukee?
I believe so.
So who knows? Maybe Matt will just call back and win the tickets, and we'll have to talk to him again. But yes, if you would like to go, if you don't have plans tonight and want to make the trip to American Family Field, give us a call at the end of this segment. First caller wins. But as always, these tickets are brought to you by Civic Media's flagship Brew Crew Station, WISS Oshkosh Air Support, as well as WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. So if you can't go to the game, you can always listen to the game on either of those Civic Media stations.
And you can get access to those via the Civic Media mobile app,
which you can find in your app store.
There you go.
Is there anything else we need to add?
I think.
What else can we plug right now?
844-967-2789. You can call and or text anytime. 844-96-PARTY.
So, this is not an original segment. I'm going to preface it with that. But it is a fun segment. And I always, you know, I think it's people put themselves out there to get people weigh in on a conundrum that they have.
Personal conundrum.
Personal conundrum. So, it's we're going to make it FCC friendly. So, it's called Am I the Butthole?
Or Sphincter, if you prefer.
Am I the Sphincter? There you go.
It's kind of catchy.
On Reddit, it is called something else. The abbreviation is AITA. And historically, I mean, it's been around for a while, and you've probably seen this done other places, but it is a place where users post about their real world interpersonal conflicts and receive judgment from fellow forum people saying, are they the jerk? Or is the person that they are in conflict with the jerk?
And they open themselves up to this.
And they open themselves up. And there's been some, you know, some really viral ones. And so I asked Jane, I was like, what if we just start reading them and we give our opinion? You can give your opinion, 844-967-2789, and just do this as a fun Friday thing.
Exactly.
So get your fingers ready and your opinions should be ready. This is your place to be judgy.
Is the sphincter?
Who is the sphincter? All right. Am I the sphincter for telling my stepmother I'm glad she didn't name me because I find her taste just as horrible as she finds my name?
Whoa.
Spicy. All right. So bear with me. This is, it's kind of long. So yeah. So my mom named me. My dad was not really involved in my life until I was about 4. So my mom named me herself, and I have her last name. Dad did end up stepping up eventually, but I'm not super close to him. My mom died when I was 6.
Oh.
My dad was dating Tasha at the time. After Dad realized how hard it was to raise a kid on his own, I guess he decided he and Natasha needed to be more serious. He moved in with her within a month of my mom's death, and they were married almost a year after my mom died. Natasha wanted to adopt me. My dad asked me would I consent to that and consent to having my name changed. I said no. He was like, fine. Told her I would need to get on side. I don't know what that means. She was upset I said no. She spent 3 years pretty much attached to my hip trying to make me love her.
Oh.
She got pregnant near the end of that 3 year period and gave up some, but not entirely. Really, I just got room to breathe, but she always tried to fill that role of my mom in my life. One thing that has always bothered her is my name. It's not your classic common name. I always loved my name, but my stepmother named her kids names like Elizabeth and James, so my name sticks out. I like it. She named her kids, but my mom named me, and I like that my name stands out. A few times she has tried to nickname me something like Emily or Hannah. I have told her that is not my nickname or something I will take as my new name. She told me surely we can find something better. I've told her no so many times. She has said my name will not age well and will make my life harder when I graduate college and have to find a job. I told her I don't care. A few days ago, she got really frustrated because I had a teacher write father and stepmother on an email she was sending out to parents. Teacher asked if they write mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, mom, stepdad, etc. And I told her father and stepmother. So she was on edge because I didn't ask for the email to be sent as mom and dad, or just mom since my dad is pretty checked out. She told me my name was horrible and my mom tried to name me unique and in the end gave me a stupid name. I told her I didn't care about her opinion. She said after 10 years of raising me, didn't she deserve a chance to give me a name she'd like, even a nickname? I told her I'm glad she didn't name me because I found her taste in names just as horrible as she finds my name. I told her it would kill me to have one of her boring ass names. She freaked out and said I was disrespectful and to think of what my half siblings would think if they knew I hated their names. I called her a hypocrite and said I was telling her, not them, unlike her who decided to tell me for years that she dislikes my name. She sent me to my room that night. Am I the sphincter?
Wow. That's a lot to unpack.
It sounds like the person who wrote this is still maybe in high school, too, so she's young.
If it's been 10 years, she's 16. She's 16 or 17, okay, is what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And I can, from the perspective of a 17-year-old, I can understand the rage and the resentment by having your stepmother say that, gosh, your name sucks.
For 10 years.
I know. And your mother is dead. Her mother is dead.
Yes.
That's not very sensitive.
So I'm going to say no, the 16-year-old is not the sphincter. And certainly the stepmom is.
Yes. She's the adult.
She's the adult. And also, why are you so obsessed with this kid's name?
And to... Okay, on the flip side, I think step-parenting is probably one of the hardest things that people will ever, ever,
sure,
ever do.
And it sounds like she is the parent.
Yes, not
like
the father.
It sounds like the dad's not really there, even though her mom has died and that her stepmom has stepped up as much as possible along with her half-siblings. And so I'm sure to a certain extent she is wanting appreciation as far as how much she does for her.
Sure.
But it feels like a weird thing to take that out on a name that, like, my compensation, my emotional compensation for parenting you is that I get to change your name or call you something different.
That's just so insensitive. Again, her mother is dead, and this is something that this young woman has embraced and is proud of, and maybe she'll change her mind when she gets a little bit older and decide that she does want to have some kind of a nickname or something, you know, like down the road. But you're certainly not going to be able to force a 17-year-old to accept that and be happy about it.
Well, and also it's the attachment I imagine she has to her mom,
yes,
through the name that her mom gave her, especially if it's something unique.
Absolutely. 414-844-9672789. You can call and or text 844-96-PARTY from the 608. You are not my mom. The writer is correct. And why does stepmom want to be so involved? Well, as we said, I think stepmom is stepping up because it doesn't sound like dad is around very much and doesn't particularly care very much. But at the same time, all she's doing is making their relationship more fraught.
Yeah, and it feels like there's probably other hills to die on as far as building your relationship with your teenage stepdaughter of, like, respect and, you know, wanting her to show up for her siblings, her half-siblings and stuff like that, to die on the hill of, why won't you let me call you a more generic name? It feels very odd.
Absolutely. And insensitive. And good heavens, teenage girls have enough self-esteem issues the way it is. Now you want to try and embarrass her over her name?
Well, and also I think you and I are in the same boat here. Neither of us changed our names when we got married.
No.
And like, if someone calls me Kristen Sampson, I don't correct them. I'm like, oh, actually, it's Kristen Bry. But I also am a somewhat public figure, and I didn't change anything when I got married. And so, like, but for me, like, that was my name. For
right.
36 years, my name has been Kristen Bry, and my nicknames are K Bry, and people call me by my last name. And so, like, for me, it just was not, like, our kids will be Samsons, but, like, it was not something that I was like, I don't want to change my name because my name is my name. And so I think some people take a lot of their identity is wrapped up into it.
Absolutely. It's ownership. This is who I am. And again, with this young woman's mother having died when she was so young, when she was six, this is one of the gifts that she gave her to take with her to remind her of her biological mother. And again, I have great respect for step parents. I think it's a really, really tough spot to be in. And anyone who is willing to step into that role, you know, God love you, because it's critically important. But this just seems insensitive and overstepping.
I agree. I think so. So for, you know, it's not often that you can say a 16-year-old's not the sphincter, but
on the rare occasion when it happens, we like to acknowledge that.
Because teenage girls, having had been one, I wasn't that bad. I probably shouldn't make that judgment. We should get Debbie Bry on the phone to see
what kind of a teen you
what
were.
What kind of, like, an objective opinion on how much of a terror I was as a teenage girl. But I don't have a memory of being, I wasn't that angsty. I think I was more, you know, because at the time I was 16, I was like, let's go to L.A. And I was pretty focused on that versus raging against my parents or anything. And so, but God knows, some of my friends were. there were some of my friends who couldn't have a full conversation without fighting with their moms for certain periods of their life. And
see, and that's much different than my generation, because we weren't given the opportunity to argue. There is no argue. What do you think? This is a democracy?
Do you just have to sulk in your room?
Yeah. So I got really good at biting my lip and being angry. Quietly.
Scheming?
Quietly.
Scheming in your room as far as,
when can I get out of here?
All right. Well, this is fun. They're kind of long though. So we'll have to, we'll do one next Friday. There's one that I love that we'll tease for next week. Am I the sphincter for telling my niece to stay in the closet until she gets her inheritance?
Oh, wow.
And I'll just say it's like millions of dollars. It's like $7 million that this kid would potentially lose. So this is a really good one. So we'll do that next week. But for now, if you want to go to the Brewers game, we're giving them away during this break. So the first caller to call will get the Brewers tickets. You know, we'll maybe bring you on air if you're not too shy. Ask you where you're calling from, if it's your first game this season.
Where you live.
Where you live.
Where you listen.
But, what you know, who you're looking forward to seeing. But, yeah, so if you would like to go to the Brewers game, you can give us a call right now, and Jane will pick up the phone. But, as always, you can listen to the Brewers on Civic Media's flagship Brew Cruise station, WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, as well as WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. Have you gone to a game yet this year?
I have not.
Do you plan to?
Can I get free tickets?
Probably.
Then I would go.
I feel like...
You want another road trip? Another thing on our bucket list?
Well, that's not really a road trip for us. That's pretty close. But I have not been to a game in American Family Field yet. I went to the Padres game in San Diego when we were in California.
Oh, you're overdue then.
Which was very
then.
Fun. So yeah, so I am overdue. I haven't been... This is embarrassing. I haven't been to a Brewers game since last year's opening game.
Okay, we're going.
So we got to go.
844-967-2789. Your chance to pick up Brewers tickets for tonight. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hold it, everybody. That's my phone. Hello?
You're a douche.
Give me a D-O-U-C-H-E, douche.
Drum roll!
You're a douche.
I'm a douche.
Just a big, busy douche.
And that's all I'll ever be.
You're a douche. You're a douche.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Congratulations to Tanya from Milwaukee, who won our tickets but did not want to come on the radio.
She did not. Hey, that's cool too.
That's cool.
Not everyone likes to showboat as much as we do.
No, not everyone is a ham. But congratulations to Tanya. Have fun at the game. And so the Brewers have been good this year. It's like exciting to see. It's exciting to know that after we were so disappointed with the Bucks, that the next team we have to put our focus on is at least really good right now.
Well,
it's fun to watch.
For right now.
It's a long season.
It's a really long season.
But did you see the picture of the guy that we drafted?
I did. For the Packers.
For the Packers. So the Packers, the draft was last night. We were channel surfing because God, does it take a long time in between. Did you watch any of the draft?
No.
It's such a show. And so we were 13th pick. Mike was really hoping for a tight end. We did not get a tight end. We got an Iowa guy named Lucas Van Ness from Edge, Iowa. And he is a defensive lineman. And I have not been able to, I didn't have time to read like what the analysis is on people's, like, is this a good first pick? How is, like, where does this line up? I know as of this morning, there are still tight ends available. We are high tonight. So
could still get one.
But it was just it's so fun to me. The best part of the draft is watching the guys as it gets announced that they've been drafted, which is such a small port. There's so much like garbage in between. And was also really fun. There was a Make-A-Wish kid who got to announce the Jets' first pick.
Oh, sweet.
He's like 13, and he was so fired up.
Oh.
And I was like, this kid is crushing it. And so that part was very fun. But they flash to Lucas Van Ness, and he's sitting on his couch. I don't know if it's his family's couch or where exactly he is. And he's a white guy. I feel like he was wearing like a windbreaker that was zipped down to his chest, and then he has like a big silver chain on. And I was like, it was almost, because you know the picture that gets reposted every year on draft day is the picture of Brett Favre in his like his jorts on like the landline phone, and people in the back in like graffiti t-shirts,
right.
And it's just like a super 80s looking,
yes,
or like early 90s looking photo. And there was kind of moments of that, of just seeing like the outfit that he chose to wear. I was like, this does not compute, but
it seems very WWE to me.
Yes. And so, but good looking guy, our friend, Steve Scafidi, that was his immediate take. He was, well, I think the female fans will like this like this pick. And I was like, you think female fans only care if they're good looking, Steve? How sexist.
See, and that wasn't even what I took away. All I could think of was he's humongous.
His neck is definitely thick.
I'm gonna call him Arnold from now on because he is obviously he could bench press all of Edge, Iowa, where he's from. I mean, the man is enormous.
But yeah, so it's we got our first draft pick in the bag. We'll hear from Paul Noonan next week on his analysis on all of our picks and what it means for our team, knowing that we have a new hope, Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
In the QB.
And gosh, how does it feel to be in that position? You know, you've been waiting for this for so long, but you've been sitting around for so long. Do you get, you know, I just can't imagine the pressure the first time you go out on the field for the first regular season game.
Yeah.
It's a lot of scrutiny. It's so many expectations.
But how did Aaron Rodgers do the first season after Brett Favre left?
And a lot of people dumped on him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, someone was posted a carousel, I think maybe it was Journal Sentinel, of pictures of him throughout the years. And like, no, it was quotes from him throughout the years. And it was the 2008 scrimmage where he got booed. And I think the quote from that was like, and I took that personally.
Jeez. Well, I would just ask fans, just be a little patient. Can we be a little patient?
Of course not.
I know, right? I want to win, and I want to win every game, and I want it to start right now. And I just, let's tamper that down just a smidge.
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge.
No, of course they won't. Of course, at least people who would like to complain about it on the internet will have opinions right out of the gate.
Naturally.
But I'm excited to watch him play. I don't know. The anticipation is there, but we'll see who we get drafted for the rest of the year. But
will you watch it tonight? The draft? Was one probably, night enough?
I don't. It's one of those. It's one of those things where it's like, in the events where there's tons of people are going to write or talk about the event the next day. Like there's going to be recaps that I can just read.
Sure.
Versus spending 3 hours of my night. It's not really, like, I am not in the industry of needing to tweet out my opinions. I wish I was like, could, like, if I had the energy to write jokes about, you know, like, oh, like so-and-so and whatever, and do the, like, the live tweet thing. But like, unless you're kind of, that's your job, is to be giving opinions and takes and updates on these events as they're happening live. Like, even sometimes I feel like that with the political debates. It's like, do I have to watch this whole thing?
Right.
Or can I just read about it afterwards? can someone else do the analysis of what the big takeaways were? And then I can just use those.
Won't you please suffer through the entire thing for me and then just write a recap so I don't have to suffer too?
Yeah. So I have a feeling I will not be watching the draft on my Friday night. We are going to a fish Friday night.
Oh, nice.
So we'll be enjoying that with our family. What are you doing this weekend?
I have a birthday celebration with some friends tomorrow. So we are going to meet at a friend's home who is a wonderful cook, which I am not. I'm pretty good at appetizers, though.
You're good at pot pies, right?
I'm good at shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie. What's the difference between a pot pie and a shepherd's
because
pie?
Because a pot pie involves making a crust, and a shepherd's pie, you just mash potatoes and put it on top.
Oh.
Oh, we're going to...
See, you're better than me. I didn't even know the difference.
We'll get you there. We'll get you there.
All right. Well, that will about do it for us this week. When we come back, it'll be May. It's going to be May.
May 1st. Can you believe it?
We'll do some May Day traditions. Maybe I'll bring in a maypole on Monday. We'll do a dance. We'll bring the ribbons.
Oh, I have the outfit just picked out for you.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Come back on Monday at 11 when we will do this again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.